Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Okay. I think he's ready. Mr. Garfunkel, are you there?
I'm here with my life's experience.
Wow, I got to tell you something. We are in the presence of greatness.
I have a respectable artistic body of work. I, too, have respect for my life's work.
I read something interesting about you. I think you and I have something in common, which is that we're both readers. And I had read that you have every book that you have read on the walls in the order that you have read them. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. Because, well, why not? Yeah. When you finish the book, instead of chucking it, you put it on your shelf and you write down the name of the author, the publishing date, the number of pages, and you move on. And I keep reading about two a month, year after year, and never stop. So there they all are in my bookshelves.
Have you gone to the reading machine, or do you still like to read the book?
The latter. The latter. I love the tactile books. I like holding them. I like a book. I don't do reading machines. I'm a real stick in the mud about old-fashioned things. I don't think the world is getting better.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're losing stuff.
Hmm. What do you mean?
What do I mean? There's an adulteration rather than progress in so many fields. Mike Bloomberg is my neighbor. He passed me in the restaurant. One of the things he says, do you believe the world's getting better or worse? I say worse, I think. I'm a cynic.
Yeah.
He said, don't you see how much is going on? And if your grandpa's going to have an operation, you don't like that anesthesia now exists? You think the world was better when he had to take the pain? So, yes, many things in the modern world are progress, but so much is a case of can the seller sell it at the same price and get away with offering a cheaper version? That's adulteration.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well, I do think that people, human contact, which is a lot of what, you know, when you think about your great body of work, a lot of what you write about, whether it's Solo or Simon and Garfunkel, is, you know, human contact. And I think people eventually are not going to know how to go about that.
I always said to my wife, never underestimate the enormous quantity of human shyness. It's a weird word. To be shy, to be reticent, to pull back from others, because it takes a touch of bravery to get close, to speak together, takes a touch of bravery. To be shy is so natural. Never underestimate how much we, the people, we want to be shy and then shyer than shy. So this pulling back is the nature of timid human beings. Along comes these devices that allow us to put our nose into the palm of our hand. It's perfect for what people want. But we lose togetherness. We lose each other.
When it comes to reading, do you ever read rock biographies, rock artist biographies and things?
I read Bob Dylan's Chronicles 1. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
The biggest hit of them all is Keith Richards, probably.
Yeah.
I didn't read that. I should. It's my kind of book.
Let me tell you something, Art. I read it. It could have been maybe 300 pages less. And I've read a lot about the Rolling Stones. I have a feeling Keith is trying to revise history. That's just my pure speculation on my part.
Interesting. I find that so interesting. Well, so historians who have a reputable, if they have respect for their accuracy, are terribly important. You can't just have somebody winging it. This is Wikipedia. This is the modern age we live in. people winging it. I don't want to know what somebody said. I want to know what's the truth.
Yeah. Our guest is Art Garfunkel. And when we have legendary guests like yourself on, I always like to ask, you know, Mike Shue brought up the Rolling Stones. Is there a band that you remember opening up or an artist that you remember opening up for Simon and Garfunkel who went on to be very successful?
He played Forest Hills and Jim Morrison. They opened for us.
Wow.
That was
a
memorable night.
Yeah.
Wow.
What year would you guess that was?
68, 69.
68 or 69.
Was that the first time you'd seen the Doors?
Did I see them in San Francisco? I feel like I saw them in San Francisco. They were very dominant in the time. The flavor of their records was full of flavor. This is what we loved. Light My Fire, what a great rock and roll record. Full of flavor. It almost captures the spirit of the latter half of the 60s, Light My Fire. That was a very important rock and roll event. They opened for us. We were the bigger act. The Mamas and Papas opened for us.
Did you guys model yourselves after anybody? Because when you look at duos, you know, you ended up probably being the most successful songwriting duo other than Lennon and McCartney, maybe arguably. But did you guys model yourselves after anybody, or were you true?
Not really. When I think of our stage act, what we were so simple. We didn't really have a stage act. We weren't like anybody. We were the absence of answering those kind of questions. If you jump back a decade earlier, we were model. We definitely would say it was the Everly Brothers, Don and Phil, that captured us. We wanted to sound like them and be like them. So that was the model in our teenage years.
And I think I read you guys met when you were 11.
Do people know that? Simon and Garfunkel began to be friends at age 11.
That's
remarkable. I think that's worth stopping and looking at. They like to pick fun at all of our so-called troubles, but why don't they just stop right there? You know each other from 11?
Yeah,
and
awesome.
12 and 13, you were friends? Yeah. Oh, well, that's deep. And we were musical, and we were learning how to perfect our blend at this very young age.
Well, I think the thing is that people, I love your music, and I think people look at you in that case kind of like friends, and they want to think that there's never any trouble, but there's always issues in relationships, especially ones that go that long, Art.
Well, the trouble is the fun, you know. Along comes Donald Trump. The extreme trouble is the extreme fun. Come on. That's media. That's the world. We feed on each other when we turn on our TVs or open the newspapers. We want the negative more than we want the positive. Shame on us. How terrible to be human. What can you say? You know, I'm mocking human nature now, clearly. But, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. It's more fun to look at the warts than to look at the saintly stuff.
We're in the middle of our annual fundraiser for the Greater Boston, Worcester County, and New Hampshire food banks, and it's called The Rock for Change.
Bless.
And we play any song as long as someone is willing to pay for it with a donation. And so I mentioned this early this morning, and we have a listener who is willing to give $500 to the food banks, but they want you to request the Simon and Garfunkel song that we play. So I'm gonna throw that out there to you, and you have a giant catalog.
Play Old Friends.
What is it?
Old Friends.
Old Friends.
Oh, okay. Sat on their park bench like bookends, a newspaper blown through the grass falls on the round toes. Play that one.
All right, that
was awesome.
This is amazing. So
wow.
Art Garfunkel singing on the show this morning.
Wow.
What can I say? I walk in the middle of this stuff all through my life. Thank you, gentlemen. You put a big pedestal under me.
Hey, A texter wants me to ask you what your favorite song is that that you have done or that Simon and Garfunkel did.
Well, it's almost the same question. It's almost the same thing we just did.
Yeah, that's your favorite one.
I'm very proud of Bridge Over Troubled Water because I think of myself as a singer, but I also think of myself as a record maker. I'm the guy in this behind the glass putting the sounds together along with Paul and Roy Halley. So as a producer, I love that Bridge Over Troubled Water. It's more than a song. It's a hell of a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me cry. It does.
It really affects people. I think how many people, I think of girls with their earphones after midnight on the couch feeling blue, and they're listening, and they've got the sound loud, and I'm making an intimate connection with my singing and my great attempt to be sincere. And if it dries the tears, if it makes for feeling a little better, I love that I'm part of that.
Now, you're going to be at the City Winery performing live. And tell us a little bit about this, when we see you live these days.
I do a show that's, I'm not sure if we'll do an intermission show or not. I bring my book, my autobiography, into the show, and I dare to read these 30-second, one-minute little prose poem bits, these little pieces, examinations of my life, life itself, rock and roll, Paul Simon, my history. Well, you know, you can see from the interview, I'm philosophical, I have the curious mind, and my book, I'll pull out six or seven of these pieces and be short and sweet. Nobody likes poetry. It's a dangerous word. But these are prose poem bits, and I weave them between the songs, which are half Simon and Garfunkel and half my own career. If you're a singer, you can do anything. I do Randy Newman in my show that I've never recorded because he's so good.
You play All I Know?
That has to be in the show. I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
I do it, but I do it with the piano player. He does a large part of it.
And do you tell the colonic story?
No. What is the colonic story again?
Yes, Greg, tell us.
I read it correctly. What I read about you is that it took you 14 years, but you walked across North America. Is that correct?
Something like that. I walked across North America in about 10 years.
And I read about you getting a random colonic from a woman in Queens, I believe, was what I had read. Is that true or not?
I don't know.
I can't admit that.
Well, we'll leave that to be decided by history.
I like the Bridge Over Troubled Water part of the interview better. Some really strong, fine things. I'm very proud of myself as an achiever.
Yeah.
But I see your interests.
Well, listen, what we're interested in is that it has been an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And you're an American treasure, so I thank you. And you've helped us raise $500.
Good.
With your song request. So we're gonna do that, and we'll see you when you come to town here in Boston.
Good. I'll look forward to it.
Wow. What an interesting guy. You should see the text machine.
Oh, that's fascinating. He is an interesting dude.
Wow.
Fascinating, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Deep.
This texter philosophical. Says, this texter says, I love hearing intelligent people just talk at free random about things. And he's, I mean, you know, you might call him, would you call him eccentric? That's what you call wealthy people who are. But he's very smart.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.